Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for the sermon today is from the New Testament lesson in Paul's book of 1 Corinthians. He writes, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it." And especially this is the part of the text we'll be honing in on today. "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. I do this so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Is it hard to wear an empty suit? Is it psychologically tolling to be an actor, to have your full-time job being someone else? Well, I just read an article on this, and though there isn't consistent documented research, there is some to lean toward yes. This is a quote from the article. It starts off with a quote from a professional actor. She says, "It was depressing. My character would cry and I would cry. She was miserable and I was miserable. She was a frustrated, ignorant person trapped in a narrow life, and I felt like that." The article continues, "The idea that there are psychological consequences to good acting has been espoused so often that it's easy to assume the science is there to back it up. As a result, the sudden and often surprising deaths of talented actors sometimes inspire fearful, knowing whispers about the dangers of delving too deep into harrowing roles." The Apostle Paul was a bit like an actor, but not in the sense that he was not genuine or fake and just putting up a front to win people over, but he sincerely was whoever he needed to be. To the wise, he could be wise. To the simple, he could be simple. To the Jews, he could be a Jew. To the Greeks, he could be a Greek. Over all of it, he says, "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some." Paul was a master of empathy. He could emotionally put himself in someone's situation and feel for them and experience their frustrations with them. And in no place was this more clear than for those trapped and chained by sin. Paul saw people all around him who were prisoners of sin, not having grace, having graceless chains. He would burn for them, his heart would hurt for them, because he knew the hopelessness and despair that sin would hang over them, and he knew the anger that would take control of people and affect their relationships, all coming from sin. Paul sought to be all things to all people so that he could open up as many communications and many channels of communications as possible, to start as many conversations as possible, to speak grace, God's undeserved love for sinners, to speak grace to break graceless chains. Let's see how Paul did that. Paul is, I think, pretty clearly the greatest and most gifted Christian missionary slash evangelist to ever walk the face of the earth, second only to Jesus. He planted congregations over most of the world at that time, the Roman Empire, and this was his strategy. He said, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. To begin to understand that, we need to understand that there were two types of people in Paul's day, Jews and non-Jews, or Gentiles. And concerning the Jews, Paul said to the Jews, I became a Jew. Paul had no problem getting along with the Jews. He was one with them by blood. He knew their customs. He knew their ceremonial laws. He knew their culture. He was educated by one of the greatest Hebrew scholars, Gamaliel. He was very fluent in the Old Testament, and he spoke very commonly in synagogues, being so highly educated by such a highly educated teacher. He was a guest preacher of sorts, using Old Testament prophecies to point to Jesus as the promised Messiah, so that the Holy Spirit could use what he spoke to break people's graceless chains. Now, maybe we don't at surface glance understand how radical it would be for Paul to say something like, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Which is very clearly saying to the Gentiles, I have become like a Gentile. What? You weren't even supposed to associate with Gentiles. Peter flatly says that in the book of Acts, speaking to a group of Gentiles, he says, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with Gentiles or visit them. They are the degenerate. They are the unchosen. They are the rejected, the people who have rejected the one true God. So to stay with them, to visit them, or even talk to them, in Paul's words, to the Gentiles, become like a Gentile. Oh my goodness, that meant uncleanliness. Complete disregard for Old Testament laws and Jewish culture. Brushing shoulders with them, staying with them, eating with them, visiting them. This was strictly forbidden among the Jews. Some of the Jews, did understand and take to heart what Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, where he says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day, so any observance of Old Testament ceremonial law. Paul says these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The person casting that shadow is Christ. They all point to Christ. Paul says the reality, however, is found in Christ. Some Jews understood this, and so they rejoiced in the Savior who died for the Gentiles, believing that Jesus was their Savior. But not all Jews did this. Many did not. The Jews that needed more time to take that to heart, that they aren't the center of the universe, that Jesus died for the whole world, not just for the Jews, that all their obsession about ceremonial laws and cleanliness laws doesn't mean anything anymore because Jesus perfectly fulfilled those laws, and so any attempt to do that is completely meaningless and futile. For Jews that still needed help understanding this, Paul even would submit himself to Old Testament law so that he could open up conversations, he could open up lines of communication with Jews so that he could tell them the purpose of these laws, so that he could tell them that they point ahead to Christ, so he could tell Jews that Jesus is the Savior of not just the Jews, but the whole world, so that he could speak grace and by God's grace break their graceless chains. Do the people around you understand they have a Savior from sin? Are they like the Jews? Is the man you work with like the Jew who is not interested in Jesus? The man who thinks that at work, who thinks that I'm pretty good by myself, I'm a good person, but anytime I do anything wrong, well, I just try to do some more good things, you know, so at the end of the week, things balance themselves out, and whatever karma or the universe or fate sends my way, well, I'll be able to handle it because there's not really anything wrong with me. Now, how can you be all things to that person? Get to know him. Listen to him. Behind a nothing wrong with me facade is someone who has sorrow, someone who has weaknesses, someone who has sensitive spots. Jesus has strength for our weaknesses and in the will for each step of every day. Jesus has comfort for our sorrows and hope for tomorrow and the next day of God's blessing. Jesus has all the tact and the love in the world to handle someone's sensitive points so that you can tactfully speak God's love to them and not be misunderstood so that a line of communication is completely broken down. Is someone like the junior in college who is off to spring break in Cancun? You know, life's a garden, so dig it. Enjoy it. Live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't have to really start taking life seriously until age catches up with you and then you realize that this life is coming to a close. How can you be all things to him, to her? Get to know her. Listen to her. Jesus has a way of sending a sudden shock of sobriety into someone's life through a tragic accident, through a death, through a diagnosis. And when you have built up a relationship with someone, they see the hope that you have. Now your patience will yield speaking grace and forgiveness in your Savior Jesus. I think the outstanding part of Paul being all things to all people is how much he cared. He says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He was able to wear an empty suit, so to speak. He was able to be whoever he needed to be because he cared so much about people. Paul saw people who didn't have Jesus in their life. He saw lives that were graceless. Now, please appreciate with me what a statement that one word is. Graceless. Because it starts with sin. When someone doesn't have Jesus in their life, sin just pours into their life every day, and the wrongs that they do, even though they know they are wrong, bring guilt to them, and there's nothing they can do about it. But sin is also negative. And the fact that it is defined by a lack of something. It is defined in the fact that it is missing something. It is missing grace. It is missing love. It is missing the light behind Christians' eyes. It is missing the will in each step of every day. It is missing the comfort in every day for the forgiveness we have in our sins. It is missing the hope we have to spend eternity with Jesus outside of the tragedies that happen in this world. And beyond that, grace isn't just negative. It also positively takes control of people's lives. Gracelessness has a slavery to its condition. If I don't know God's love, I don't have any power whatsoever to change that. Isn't that depressing? Isn't that eye-opening for people who don't know Jesus? The condition they have of not having Jesus in their lives is a condition which holds them captive. And they will be held captive to this graceless condition until God pours His grace and love into their lives through the message of Jesus dying for the sins of the world. Only God's grace can break those graceless chains. Paul saw people all around him who were held captive to their graceless chains. So he was always looking for an opportunity to be all things to all people, to speak to as many people and in as many different ways as possible. The grace and love God has for lost sinners, the grace only that can break those graceless chains. I once had a couple conversations with a man who didn't necessarily say he didn't believe in God. His wife was the one who believed in God. And he would occasionally go to church with her. And there was one preacher that he was willing to talk to, but only for a time before he would say, that's all I'm willing to talk about today. And I got the chance to sit down with him at a visit at his house. And I spoke to him the truths God has hardwired into our souls, that we are born into a sinful condition, that every day we do wrongs and we have guilt over these wrongs that we do, and that even though I try to do good things to balance out my bad things, I still can't break this fear that at the end of my life it won't be enough. I said, that's okay. That's a good thing. Sin is supposed to shake you up. Our guilt is supposed to give us a wake-up call because we have a Savior from sin. And that would never, ever occur to me unless God Himself told me that, and that is exactly what He does in His Word. His Word tells me how God became like me, was born into this world like me, suffered like me, was executed for my sins, to take those sins of mine on Himself. And He did that because that is His love. He did that because that's grace, that's God. And as I'm speaking this, I can see His eyes getting bigger. And I can see the wheels turning behind those eyes. And I can see hope in His wife's eyes that her husband might finally get it. And then He says, I have this black book. And it's upstairs under my pillow. And I don't know if it's God speaking to me, but whenever a thought comes to me that just feels right, I write it down in this book. And I believe that they're true. You know, Christians teach so many different things that I can't even be sure of what the Bible teaches anymore, but I believe that what I write in this book is true and I live by it. My heart burned for him. Chains. Graceless chains. I listened to him. I spoke. I visited again, and he very kindly and tactfully said, well, I'm going to contact you now. And he never did. I've never heard from him. I don't even live by him anymore. But I still pray for him. But why end with such a depressing story. Well, of all the times I have been privileged to speak grace to someone, the majority of the times, God has blessed it, and as far as I can tell, their graceless chains have fallen, but not this time. Not with this guy. We are all things to all people imperfectly. And unless we set out to be all things to all people, knowing that we will do this imperfectly, we will soon lose our hope and our drive to do so. And beyond that, I don't want you to think that I'm haunted by this experience I had, that in every new person I meet, I'm trying to make up for not succeeding with this guy. I mean, it's not like that at all. I have not given up hope, and I will not give up hope that God's grace will break his graceless chains. But his condition is not the exception. I still see him and the people I meet who do not know Jesus. So many people every day dragging around their chains. They're so strong. They're so heavy. But God's grace is stronger. I mean, finally, it's not that hard to all things to all people. You're smart people. You'll figure it out. You'll make mistakes. You'll learn from them. But will you try? Will you see chains? Will you see your Savior who says, "You will know the truth"? And the truth will set you free. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.